from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hours here. Greg Salerno's company. Jared's here. It's Cofield. We'll have some tickets to Wild and Out. Nick Cannon. That's coming up soon.
Hey.
September 1st. What was that? Why'd you do that? That was
I weird. Just remember the show.
Did you go look up why and where I stole, well, why I used it and where I stole the word truculent from?
I did.
It's pretty cool, right?
It is cool. It's actually, the clip was so succinct, I couldn't believe it. It was like exactly what I needed.
What was in the clip?
It was Muhammad Ali. Howard Cosell was like, you seem truculent. And he's like, I don't know what that means, but if it's good, I'm it. Or something like that.
Miles Simmons is in. He's an Ivy Leaguer. He went to Columbia. We had a question in the halfway point of the show. Truculent, what does it mean?
Like cantankerous? Somebody who wants to like fight or whatever?
Everybody's smarter than me.
Well, just this is not in your vernacular, so it happens.
What's vernacular mean?
Right, well, we're gonna that's coming up at 5:25.
I started off with cantankerous too. That
one. Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Also,
good one.
Like a you know, I like 25-cent word.
It's big. It's big word day today.
Oh,
real big.
Bad.
Well, it's not your bad. We wanted someone smart to come in and educate us.
Okay. All right. Never mind. I take it back.
We lean on you for that. Yeah. Don't apologize.
Don't get cantankerous.
We're going to rip your head off. We're going to get truculent with you. Greg was in a mood coming in. Greg, can you explain why you have problems with DeSean Jackson?
Well, I just don't understand because you're talking about the Devontae Adams stuff. Well, he was basically saying that he's friends with Devontae Adams and that Devontae Adams isn't happy with the Raiders, and I guess my question is, one, why would he tell DeSean Jackson that? I mean, you know, in this day and age, he knows DeSean is on a podcast and all that stuff. Two, does he even know what he's talking about? I mean, I don't know if – is DeShaun Jackson that close to Devontae Adams that he would confide in that kind of information?
You know, I saw some of his quotes, and it's kind of like, well, what else – are the Raiders supposed to do? You know, like I'm sure would have loved to have traded for Jaden Daniels, but he wasn't available, right? The Commanders were not going to give up that number two overall pick. And so that was not going to happen. Then, I mean, who really on the open market was there that was all that great? I mean, you could have gone after Kirk Cousins, I guess, but I don't know if that was ever really going to be a fit. And, you know, look, the Falcons have gotten punished for tampering. So was that ever going to be something you could really push your chips in for? I don't know. I mean, I think that the quarterback issue is something that's not really going to be solved for the Raiders until 2025, unfortunately. So,
right.
I mean, if Devontae Adams is a little bit unhappy, he should sit down and count his money from the Raiders and count the Taco Bell sponsorship money and then try to feel a little bit better about himself. And he doesn't have to pay state taxes. He lives in Nevada.
Can I point something out real quick? When I watched the Devontae Adams commercials, I'm going to go back to the well again. Why does he seem truculent with the cashier in his house? Bro, why are you mad?
Obviously, it's like you the greatest set it up ever. For something.
Yeah.
Right. What's going on there? I don't get it either.
Or is that what they call acting? And I'm buying into it. Okay. Might be just good acting.
Is it good acting?
Yes, it is. I buy it. Every time I watch a commercial, you know, I'm like, be nice to the cashier. He's in your house. This isn't a great
it's
job.
Not bad acting. I've seen much worse acting in commercials. So, you know, let me be clear. It's really not bad acting.
Miles, I got to, you know, since we're on Devontae already, do you think he's bordering on bad teammate? Because I don't know if you watched that show Receiver. And, you know, Steve and I talked about this before. Or maybe Adam. I don't know. Whoever, I don't know what I'm doing. But basically, there was a part where he was complaining about passes, and some of the passes weren't even thrown by Garoppolo. They kind of edited it together, and he was saying, you know, give me the ball and cursing and all that stuff. Would that bother you as a teammate?
Not really, because it's Devontae Adams. You know, it's not like it's Kenny Britt, you know, and I don't know why that's the first receiver that came to my mind, but, you know, look, it's not like a scrub who's out there. You know, he can't really do his job.
Right.
He doesn't help you win. He drops passes. He posts weird videos online. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not who we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody who is one of the best receivers in football. And so if you get him the ball, you are more likely to win. Right? And so that's partially on the quarterback. It's partially on the coaching staff. Hey, how do we scheme it so that this guy gets open so that he can make plays? Because when he has the ball in his hands, he's dynamic. So production equals tolerance of things. So if, again, if it's not Davante Adams, then it makes it different. But because Davante Adams is such a proven commodity, I mean, it's understandable that he gets frustrated when they're not winning and he's not making plays, because again, when he makes plays, they win.
Miles Simmons with us, Pro Football Talk, Peacock as well. I'm telling you, I told, you know, Greg, halfway through the show, man, I was watching people try to make something out of CeeDee Lamb finally signing and have some angle, you know, getting all mad. Is there an angle worth getting mad over here? Or we just get suckered into some drama with typical Jerry, waits until the last minute. Is there something to worry about now? Hey, they signed him, but this is going to happen now with CeeDee Lamb.
In terms of what? Like what his performance might be this season?
I guess. How in the end, how can this turn out badly?
Well, I don't know that it turns out badly for the Cowboys, unless, you know, they don't have a viable quarterback who can get him the ball on a consistent basis. And I mean, if you believe certain things, then you think, all right, well, Dak Prescott is more likely than not going to hit the open market next March, because he'd like to test the market. And, you know, the Cowboys can't franchise him. So they have to make him, if they want to keep Dak off the market, they have to make him an offer that he cannot refuse, right? So that would be, in my opinion, something upwards of $60 million per year in terms of average annual value. I don't know that I would really want to do that for Dak Prescott at this point if I'm Jerry Jones. I don't know if I would want to. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, then that's something bad that could come of it. But, you know, I think, could Lamb's performance dip a little bit, particularly early on in the season, because he's not going to be in real football shape coming into week one? Yeah, I think that's a reality. I mean, you look at guys like a Deebo Samuel, who was in a sort of similar situation a couple years ago. You know, he had the holdout, la, la, la. And then he comes in and he's talked about, you know, not wanting to put stuff on film like he did that season in 2022, because he felt like he just wasn't very good because he was not there in training camp. I mean, you saw a little bit of a dip in performance with Nick Bosa for sort of the same reasons early on last year. When guys go through something like this, it is more difficult for them to get into that football shape because they haven't been at practice every single day. And there is a difference between, you know, doing the things that you need to do to prepare for camp versus being in camp. So I guess that could harm it a little bit, but it's not like Lamb is learning a new offense. You know, it's not like he doesn't already have the built-in reps and chemistry with quarterback Dak Prescott. So I think he'll be okay, but is he going to get 1,700 yards again this year? I don't know if he'll reach that level of performance.
Talking to Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Speaking of stories we've been talking about, this one might have been fake all along. I don't know what you think about this, but the quarterback competition in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, was this ever real? Like, did Fields ever really have a chance, or was this going to be, you know, it's Wilson all the way the entire time?
I think something catastrophic would have had to happen in order for Justin Fields to get that quarterback role. Right. And, you know, based on things that I've been reading out of Pittsburgh, you know, and those of us nationally, you know, you kind of sometimes want to will something into existence. And it's not like they didn't say that there was a competition. But you look at the reps that were distributed, as reporters in Pittsburgh pointed out, you look at the fact that, and this is not something you can go off of for most teams, but Pittsburgh is special in this way. I mean, the depth charts that they put out, right, where it's Russell Wilson, QB1, Justin Fields, QB2, and it wasn't Russell Wilson or Justin Fields as QB1. You know, there was, right, that was not the competitive standpoint. And I say that because Pittsburgh actually uses their depth chart when they release it to break news. And Mike Tomlin even said over the course of August, or maybe it was late July, I don't know, but he said, you know, you guys saw the depth chart I put out. And, you know, a lot of times that thing is worth like toilet paper, right? Like, because PR departments put it together and coaches don't really look at it. So that's what makes Pittsburgh unique in that way. But I feel like they wanted a veteran to come in and really stabilize that position after what they've gone through the last couple of years with Kenny Pickett. And then you go to Mason Rudolph and you had Mitchell Trubisky there, and it just was a carousel of crap. And I think that, you know, Russell Wilson has not been great over the last couple of years, but he at least stabilizes the position as a veteran. And that's something that, you know, I think that Pittsburgh really wanted this year.
Miles Simmons with us. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I was just going to say, do you think that the Rashee Rice thing is actually going to happen, the suspension? Because I saw the Chiefs sign Juju. Does that mean anything?
I don't think it means that much. And what's interesting about this is, as it was explained to me, the legal process is still ongoing. And so because of that, the NFL is unlikely to take action until that plays out, which is interesting and obviously does not happen in every single case. But in this particular case, it does seem like that's what they're going to do. So, yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster, I think, is really good for the Chiefs to have because Patrick Mahomes can trust him. You know, he caught the ball, which is not something that those receivers did in 2023 when Juju Smith-Schuster was there in 2022. So that's one thing where, yeah, you can kind of read into it a little bit, but I think it has more to do with the fact that they're going to be missing Marquise Brown potentially than it does that they would be missing Rashi Rice.
Miles Simmons is with us, Pro Football Talk, Peacock. What do we got rolling out here on Peacock?
Oh, well, I got to tell you guys, it's a special week this week because I will be on Peacock's PFT Live tomorrow morning starting at 4 a.m., excuse me, Pacific time. So you can check that out. And, of course, check out the replays all day on Peacock and for a few days afterwards as well. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff talking about the cuts and, you know, surprises and things like that based on everything that happened today. So certainly tune in for everything there.
Wait, you did that noise again.
Me?
Yeah.
It's my excited noise.
Now you're using that for excited?
Yeah.
Noise? All right. Well, Miles, sit tight for 30 seconds because now I have to give away Nick Cannon tickets. Nick Cannon's Wild and Out Tour Live.
Hey.
September 1st. Stop, please stop. MGM Greg Garner Arena, AXS.com. Nice. Caller 7 right now. You'll get your tickets at AXS.com. And Jared's going to hook you up here. Caller 7, 364-1100, 364-1100. All right. We got some quarterback questions. First of all, what are the Patriots doing at the start of the season? What are they going to be doing by, say, week 4?
I think that Drake May will be in there sooner than later. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, and I don't mean this in a totally disparaging way. Jacoby Brissett's one of those quarterbacks that's limited, right? It's kind of the same way I feel about Gardner Minshew. At a certain point, they're just going to start turning the ball over because they're not elite, and it's okay. Like, that's the kind of guy that you want to be a backup because – he can get you through 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, right, as a starter if you game plan around him and you make sure that everything is right and everybody's on their P's and Q's. But he's not a good starter, okay? I mean, that's just the way it is. So when you draft somebody as the Patriots drafted Drake May, I mean, they want him to play. They want him to be able to seize it. And what I think is just odd, though, is the messaging that Jerod Mayo's been putting out there. Now, when you publicly say, oh yeah, Drake May has outplayed Jacoby Brissett, but you know, we're still gonna have Jacoby be the star. Like, what is that even? Why are you saying that? There's a reason why, you know, Bill Belichick didn't just spout off in the media all the time, because when you do that, the message gets muddled. And so I think, you know, yeah, Jerod Mayo is a first-year head coach. That was an unforced error, easy for me to say, as, you know, he's starting to get into his first regular season. But, yeah, I mean, the other issue that the Patriots have is their offensive line because they're not a great unit yet. And so you don't want Drake May to just go out there and be David Carr. No, you want him to be able to have time and make his reads, go through his progressions and things like that. So if they can get the offensive line a little bit more solidified as we get through the first quarter of the season, then I think that will make the Patriots feel better about putting their rookie quarterback out there.
What do you think about Drake May? I actually like him a lot, and it sounds stupid, but I used him in Madden. He was really good there too. But I like him a lot. I think he's a lot of the tools. I don't think a lot of people talk about him as much. I think he's I think he might be one of the better quarterbacks to come out this year when it winds up.
Well, yeah, and I liked him too coming out of college. You know, watching some of his games last year, you know, throughout the draft process and things like that. Yeah. I think he has certain skills that are really good. It's interesting though, because this quarterback class is one where you can see a lot of these guys succeeding. I mean, Caleb Williams looks like he's absolutely going to be successful.
Right.
I mean, Jaden Daniels, he's not in my opinion, the greatest situation, but he was so darn good at LSU and he's got so much experience that some of that stuff you'd think should translate. you know, J.J. McCarthy, obviously, we won't know for at least another year. You look at Bo Nix. I mean, this dude has been in college for 87 years. And then he goes to what I think is a great spot for him with Sean Payton, just somebody who understands, you know, calling offense in terms of in rhythm and loves the accuracy. And that's what Bo Nix has shown that he can do. And, you know, we won't know what Michael Penix Jr. can do, presumably, for a little bit. But, I mean, these guys all do, I think, have chances to be successful. And really, if you look at it, I mean, you could say that Drake May might be in the worst situation, just given what the Patriots have not done on offense since, you know, Tom Brady. Well, you could really even say since the last year of Tom Brady with that team back in 2019. So I like Drake May, but, you know, like I said, if they can't get the offensive line together and if they don't have the skill position players that can go out there and be successful, then it might be a long rookie year for him. Might be a long first couple years for him.
Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. So they have a shortage on talent, a talent void in New England. Why is that? Why is like, who's to blame on that?
Bill Belichick. Who else would you blame?
Hold on a second. Quote, and it's going to be a two-part quote, so give me a second.
Okay.
Ready?
All right.
Bill Belichick. It's Taxachusetts. Just another thing you've got to contend with in negotiations. Don't drop a Jesus on us. He says the Massachusetts 4% surtax on taxable income over $1 million hurts New England's ability to lure top talent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why is it that the Rams could go out and sign all those guys and, you know, trade for all those guys and then sign them to long-term deals? That's BS. Give me a break.
In California, right? And Belichick, here, this is the great thing about this. And by the way, I don't want to accuse without watching, but I'm going to accuse without watching. This is my worry about anyone who gets Bill Belichick on their show.
Uh-huh.
And if they're afraid to counter nonsense, then the spot loses some juice. I don't know if they push back on this, but you just did with a California example. One, the taxable income over $1 million. The draft picks have no say where they go.
Thank you.
That's not a free agent deal.
That was
going to
be my next point.
And then the other one is, I'm going to drop a Jesus. For years, Belichick was a master of, I think, circumventing with Ernie Adams' help, circumventing the cap, but all of a sudden it became this impossibility down the stretch, and that's the excuse. Come on, Bill. Come on.
Yeah, that it doesn't hold water, right? I mean, when the problem is talent acquisition, not talent retention, and talent acquisition specifically as it pertains to the draft. I mean, when was the last time we heard of a Patriots receiver, right, that did anything worth a damn? I don't know. You really got to go all the way. Even in 2007, right, they got Randy Moss. They had to trade for Randy Moss. You know, they brought in Wes Welker. Wes Welker was not organically coming from the Patriots organization. Like, though, you have to really, I think, rate Bill Belichick in terms of what he has done on offense and rate it poorly for the most part. I mean, he was very fortunate to get with Josh McDaniels, who did a great job of being a number two to Bill Belichick. But, you know, when he goes out on his own, that doesn't work. You know, Bill O'Brien did a great job with that team as well in some of the heyday. I mean, you go all the way back to Charlie Weiss, right? But Bill Belichick's specialty is not offense. And one of the things that I think is a little bit annoying that we bring up, we maybe sometimes don't bring up when we talk about Bill Belichick and genius and all this, is the last couple of years, right? Who do we blame for that offense but him? I mean, who in their right mind thought putting Matt Patricia and Joe freaking Judge in charge of your offense with the second year quarterback was a good idea? Everybody thought it was a bad idea, but everybody was like, well, it's Bill Belichick. No, we all knew it was dumb. We all knew it was bad. And sometimes we just got to call a spade a spade. And like, that is part of why I think it makes sense that Bill Belichick doesn't necessarily have a job right now when it comes to coaching football in the National Football League. He is tremendous at coaching defense. He's a great motivator. And I'm not saying that he's not the greatest head coach of all time, because he is. But over the last several seasons, and you can go even further back when it comes to talent acquisition on offense, there are some clear deficiencies. And I think not acknowledging that is just, I don't know, being willfully blind to that.
I'm going to table this because I think there's a lot more here. So
Taxachusetts.
I want to see if it more recently became Taxachusetts, if there's actually proof that the millionaire population in Massachusetts has dropped, if people are finding tax havens. I would love to find out how Belichick got around it.
Yeah.
Because he's probably got money parked in freaking the Caribbean and whatever, Arizona. So he's not, I guarantee he got around it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I got worked up. I'm going to stay calm on this one. Okay. But we're going to close this way. I found out all of my road trips with UNLV basketball and football coming up. There is a trip that I'm excited for, and it may be an extended trip. Basketball is going to Dayton, Ohio. There's only one reason. Well, I want to see the gym. There's one real reason that I'm excited to go to Dayton, Ohio. It's a food item. And I read your Twitter timeline, and how dare you?
Are you going to say something positive about Skyline Chili?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mama.
Steve.
Woo! I went there three times. Brother. I went there three times on the trip.
Brother.
Oh, it was so good.
What the hell are you talking about?
The server's like, you're back again. Why are you crying on the chili spaghetti? I'm like, I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah. What? Two people in Cofield and Company. We finally crossed
Wait,
the threshold.
Does Miles not like it?
He hates it. He called it an abomination.
It's disgusting.
Oh,
it is gross. It is one of the most disgusting things I've ever tasted in my entire life. Listen, wow. I am all for trying stuff. I love trying food. The one time I had Skyline Chili, I had one bite. I said, what in the world is this? I had a second bite. I said, absolutely not. Never again.
Can I ask
you? The worst part is somebody told me like, hey, man, you really don't need to eat that. And I'm like, no, I'll try anything. And he was absolutely right.
Miles, though, are you saying the style of the chili with the spaghetti is bad or that particular chili and spaghetti is bad? Like that
particular chili is disgusting. Oh, so it should not even be labeled chili. It's an abomination. It tastes awful. And you know what's funny? Somebody I used to work with shot back at me, it's a Cincinnati institution. I go there once every 5-10 years, and blah, blah. I'm like, well, you're proving my point that it's disgusting. You really only eat something once every 5 to 10 years. 5 to 10 years, and you want to tell me that that's okay to eat? That's disgusting. Come on. Absolutely not.
I still want to do the spot in spite of you being anti-cumin and anti-cinnamon, but that's fine.
I am not anti-cumin, nor am I anti-cinnamon. Yeah. Both are in a chili recipe that I make, and it's much better than that.
Wow. Okay. Well, I hope you come out to Vegas. I want some of your chili. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Look at Greg. Greg can't speak.
He's
in stunned disbelief.
It's one of my favorite things.
Oh, it's so cool.
We got to get you some better taste buds. Holy smokes.
Well, mine are obviously not, very picky. So
there you go. Yeah, you're going to get that acerbic, truculent wit of Miles Peacock and PFT Live. Miles, thank you. You're awesome.
All right. Take care, guys.
Later.
That's the first time anyone's ever said that on Cofield & Company. I've had,
that's crazy.
I don't know, 22 company members over the course of 20 years.
Yeah.
Everyone else hates it. We had a guy on the show, the sports pig. Would not eat it. He called himself
understand.
A pig, hated Skyline Chili.
Dude, there's a place. They have steak burgers. They have it now in Vegas.
Yeah.
They have a very similar.
Steak and shake?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it any good?
Oh, my God. They're chili with the spaghetti, and you put a little bit of ketchup on the side, mix it in, put some crackers on there. Dude.
The breakfast place right up the road on Flamingo, I think, still has it. They had it like 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So
it's not that great?
Well, I don't know.
I love it, man. I think it's great.
I seriously, I couldn't believe it.
Get a Frisco melt, dip it in there.
We stayed at a hotel right within walking distance. It was dank and 39 degrees the entire time. It was the only thing that made me happy.
Dude, it's amazing.
I can't believe this. I'm in shock.
I'm in shock that somebody wouldn't like it.
No, well, Miles has. He's come on.
Yeah,
he's upper crust guy. Yeah. He's... See now you feel like you wasted those whatever that Nick Cannon noise you made. Feel like
I know.
Poorly
I was all excited. Now, should have said something else.
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios.
235 acres. We farming our own chickens, home. Thousands of chickens, thousands. Running around everywhere. Quack, quack, quack. Talk about next level, home.
It's Cofield and Company.
Quack, quack, quack.
On ESPN, Las Vegas.
Quack, quack, quack.
Hey, Greg and I like Cincinnati chili, so who are we? Is it Rosé?
Rosé.
I never had it.
Rick Ross. No, I think that's his nickname, isn't it?
Oh.
Rick Ross with the little off on the quack, quack, quack and chickens. Jared's very worked up about this. You didn't get it. You didn't hear it.
You know, I did until I was thinking ducks in my head. I was like, yeah, I don't understand. What's wrong with this?
So he just shifted you on it.
Yeah, he did. He totally just messed. It's like one of those things you read it and you read it wrong. You don't know yet.
Well, he owns like a ton of Wingstops and he has a humongous farm. He should know like that those are chickens. Chickens don't go quack, quack, quack. Am I
mean,
crazy?
They do make a noise similar to quacking, sort of.
I'm on it. Let me look up chicken noises.
Yeah, I mean, they go like, whatever. That was a really bad chicken. But
you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, where we host our Aces viewing parties, is a wonderful chicken wing place.
It is. You know, in Ohio now, they can call it. They can call them boneless.
That's right. The new rule.
Yeah.
This is the Ohio Supreme Court. Bones are allowed in boneless wings.
Yeah. It's crazy.
By the way, going back to the chili place, because I'm tired of giving them free pops.
Yeah. You know,
Gold Star is wonderful as well. They do have a rule that chili with meat isn't chili with bones. Or are they going to have to go to court on that one? Like, am I going to chomp in?
Well, it doesn't make
Cincinnati
any.
Chili now with bones.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all bets are off in the state of Ohio. Yeah. Armageddon.
I mean, yeah, burgers could have glass in them now, too. Like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
That comes with the food.
I guess.
You never know.
Yeah. A cow could have gone through a windshield or
please,
something.
Justice in Ohio. I thought I was safe. I got the glass-free burger. Nope. You never know. Greg Salerno's thought.
One out of five.
What are we talking about today? So Rick Ross, yeah. I'm not a farm guy, and I'm not an animal guy, like those kind of animals, farm animals, but
yeah.
I do appreciate his passion. He got some, I think he got cattle. He didn't get, is he raising it for meat?
He's raising cattle for meat, and apparently on his farm, he just has chickens sort of free range, like he's Gonzo, and they're just following him.
Yeah. You ever live anywhere that had chickens?
Like, in the area or in the actual house?
Like, around your house, there were chickens.
No, not really. Yeah. I've been to Pahrump a bunch of times where people have chickens and goats and stuff and, like, friends, you know.
You're from which one, Kansas or Missouri? Those are fighting words right there.
Well, no, technically I was born in Tennessee, but I lived most of the time in Missouri. And, yes, I did have a pet chicken that we thought a wolf had killed until my dad threw it into our burn barrel, and it started letting out noises. It was definitely still alive.
Well, I don't have a good story to top
that. Wow. Murdered a live chicken. That's interesting.
It did not look live. I know they can live without their heads attached, but
I always burn my chicken first to make sure it's not alive. Because then, you know.
Have you ever had a burn barrel?
I don't even know what that is. I'm assuming it's something you just throw things you don't want into.
The only reason I know the term, or I think I know the term, is from The Making of a Murderer.
Oh.
That whole thing in Wisconsin.
Oh, you mean like Breaking Bad, where they just put them in there and dissolve them and stuff? Is that what it is?
No, it's a burn barrel, a fire.
Oh.
It's literally an oil drum where if you have random scraps.
You don't throw live stuff in there, though.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think you're supposed to, yeah.
But it's just constantly on fire.
Psychos
and so
that you grew up with.
Game of Thrones or something.
We lived on a dirt road.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that got scary, didn't it? I'm like, I thought Bobby was the scariest guy in here now.
Yeah. It's like, I used to have a sister, but dad threw her in the burn barrel one day because we thought she was out.
Well, you know, earlier in the show, we had an announcement that Greg has big breaking news. You mended the ways. You were out of house and home. You were living in a hotel. It seemed like a dream life.
It really was.
I thought this weekend you were going to use that, what was it called again? The Gator Wine?
The Gator Wine.
Sip some Gator Wine at your hotel's pool. I like that pool there, by the way, where you stay all the time.
It is nice.
And now we find out now that I guess you made up with whoever the roommate was. And
it wasn't even really.
And you got a discount. You got kicked out, and now you get a discount.
I didn't really get kicked. I don't know. The whole thing is crazy. But, I originally was going to move into it. It's a brand new house that somebody else hadn't lived in before either. So we were both going to move at the same time. And then just didn't really work out. Yeah, I kind of got kicked out. So then I was living in a storage shed, and I was like, you know, it's hot in here, so I think I will get a hotel.
Say that again.
What? You were living in a what?
Yeah, I don't want to give him a free plug, but it's right down the street. There's a big storage shed over there that I bought that it was like conditioned air, not air, it was like climate controlled. So it wasn't that hot in it, so I was going to try to like live in it. And then I was like halfway through the night, and I was like, this is really stupid, so I'm going to go get a hotel. The next thing I knew, the lady at the hotel was like, hey, if you stay here again, you know, we'll give you the no resort fee and all this stuff for locals. And I was like, well, damn, this sounds cool. So I was living the high life for a while. And then my friend has been trying to get me to go back over there, and then I wound up getting a discount, and now I'm back over there.
Good. Again. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Creature comforts. That's good. And you've – have you lifted a finger to get yourself and us this deal in Thailand?
You know what?
I thought you were going to go.
I've failed you. I have failed you.
I thought early January you go and you spend like 3 months a year.
Yeah.
You have an advertising deal.
Well.
You get a place. It's the like prop- 300. You get the whatever else goes on in Thailand. You're good to go.
There's two issues. One, I didn't get a passport yet, and I need a passport. I don't have one. So that takes a while.
If I, you're not going to do it.
No, well, here's
no, you can do it in time for January, though.
But after my second reason, you might understand. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Well, give the second reason.
No, my second reason was I talked to work about it, maybe doing like a, you know, live feed, and they said they didn't think it would work out.
That's your mistake. Why would you do that?
Because I was drinking at a baseball game, and it just came up. Yeah.
Do you ask? Why would you ask them anything?
I don't know.
Just do it.
I was just having a conversation.
Just do it.
I was just having a
conversation. So now I'm going to have to move to freaking Thailand with you.
Yeah.
And get this done.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so the first thing is, my passport's going to run out in like 2 months.
Okay.
So I will make an appointment for me.
Yeah.
The significant other.
Okay.
And you.
Okay.
All three of us are going to go together, and they're going to be like, are you a family? No. He's just not going to do it.
Right. No, I'll go.
He's he's on our show. He'll be like, what show? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, look, I want to go there, and I'm still in. It's just a lot of things have changed in the last couple of weeks. My living situation has changed. It's no longer because it used to be if I went somewhere else and got a hotel, it's free because I'm not paying anywhere else. But now I'm double dipping.
But it's so cheap.
I know. It's like $100 a week for like.
Well, actually, now that you're paying, I think Thailand's out. You're going to have to go to the Philippines.
You think cheaper. So? Is it cheaper at the Philippines?
I have no idea, but I think it is. I'll look into it.
All right. I don't know anything about the Philippines at all. I've researched.
That's fine. It's very advanced.
I've researched Panama, Thailand, Italy, and Japan.
By the way, someone here saying they don't know if it's gonna fly technically. Who is that?
Yeah.
Who is the expert here?
I don't want to say. You know,
I think
somebody much higher than us.
I think almost all of developed Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Is
well, that's what I said.
Is better than us technically.
I don't want to out anybody, but I was like, this person's at home every day when they do radio. What's the difference if I'm in Thailand or if I'm here? Like,
you will sound crystal friggin' clear.
That's what I said. But you know what? It wasn't a deep conversation, so maybe I could, you know,
we're fine.
Get more into it.
We had an employee who lived in Italy for the better part of 4 years.
I think we had one right now that lives in India.
So, right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But she's not doing shows.
No. Not at all.
Pulling in big deals left and right.
Right. She's killing it over there.
Yeah. A couple NFL stories on cut day. Would you have your starting running back returning punts? That may be the case with the boy genius, Sean McVay, with Kyron Williams.
Yeah, no. No way.
Seems risky.
I wouldn't have any starters returning punts. I mean, once in a while, you know, when it's like an important game and an important moment and the fans get all riled up because they see like CeeDee Lamb back there getting a punt or something. Okay, I get it. But like, no, not as my everyday punt returner, no.
I just saw, this is a very minor story, but it has a whole back thing. I'm not going to get into it, but I love Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
But he is an injury risk. Desmond Ridder was supposed to be his backup, a former second or third round pick of the Falcons.
Yeah.
They cut Ridder. So I'll have to look on the roster. Clearly, they're telling us they're either going to go super bargain basement or they believe there's going to be other quarterbacks on the market. And yesterday, this is such a ridiculous hardcore NFL thing, but yesterday I was talking about who's going to go for the Broncos. By the way, what teams have right now means nothing in 10 days.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they cut quarterbacks or cut someone on the edge of the 53 and they're planning on bringing them back on the practice squad. Or
right. Eagles do that all the time.
I don't think there's any way that the Broncos, arch rival of the Raiders, right, keep both Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. So maybe Jarrett Stidham could be headed to Arizona.
Would you keep Wilson over Stidham, though?
I totally agree with you. I've seen this like groundswell of Zach Wilson's support. This was an absolute troll. I can't even name who it was on Twitter.
Right.
But the person named like six teams that Zach Wilson would be better than their current backup. I watched Zach Wilson for a long time. He can't play.
No.
He can't see the field. He doesn't process quickly enough. Maybe he's a good project, but he ain't a two.
No. No, I agree. I don't even – I mean, he's one of those guys, if you have an extra spot on your roster, like you said, and he's raw or whatever, you want to work on him, I guess. But I'm not going to go in there knowing Kyle Murray's my quarterback and then, you know, this guy's my number two or whatever. Or if I'm the Broncos now, that guy's my number two. Like, no. Oh. Especially with a rookie, because you don't even know what's going to happen.
Browns have kept four quarterbacks.
Mm. Well, they probably should.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to suck?
Yes.
Okay.
It's unfortunate, too, because I was actually – I liked him a lot before all this stuff. But when he was at the Texans, you know, and he was playing well, I thought he was wow, this guy's going to be great.
I liked him after. I didn't mind – not the stuff, but I didn't mind them signing to a max deal, you know, this big deal, because they're the Browns. They have to pay – it's a Browns tax.
Right.
Unfortunately.
But he has looked bad.
Jameis Winston behind him. This is – this show, like as much as this show hates Cincinnati Chili – it loves Jameis Winston.
I do, too. He's the
you
best.
Do too?
Yes.
Yes.
He's awesome. Well, because you're always getting something awesome. I mean, unless you're a fan of the team he's
you're
on.
Always getting something
but if you're
awesome.
Like, yeah, you're going to either a touchdown or you're going to get a pick six, one or the other, within at least three or four plays.
There's nothing better than, you know, 36 touchdowns and 32 interceptions.
It's amazing. It's great.
Something's happening all the time.
Yeah, I love it.
And then you love Jameis Winston, too.
And then you get to go to CeCe's Pizza afterwards.
There you go. I don't know what that means. I was just trying to go along with Jared's
all thing. All of his like rah-rah on the sideline are always the weirdest things. One time he said, if you win, we get to go to CeCe's Pizza.
Oh, yeah. He does say some weird stuff. I remember that video of him like eating the W and Deshaun Jackson's face in the background while he's doing it. It's like one of the funniest things ever. But, yeah, he's a weirdo. But still fun to watch.
Jared, you know it's a really good pizza place? Grimaldi's.
I've done it.
Grimaldi's. It is. Tyler Huntley and DTR, our own Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah.
Four quarterbacks on one team. So I think what the Cardinals are doing, they're looking around and they're like, all right, Ritter really isn't good. There's some decent twos, threes, and fours elsewhere, so we'll wait to see who someone else is going to cut.
You know, I don't remember who we talked to, but there was somebody, it was like a beat writer for the Cardinals now. It was a while ago. So, but anyways, I was shocked at how high he said they were on Kyler Murray. Like they are like all in 100%. Think he's going to be amazing, you know, and I was surprised to hear that. Honestly.
I love Kyler Murray.
Do you really?
But I'm also scarred by, was that game last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago when he pulled off the comeback and he ran like 300 yards on one play?
Yeah, I think that was like 2 years ago. Okay. That was like a Tecmo Bowl play.
It was unreal.
Yeah. No, it was great.
I mean, he does have to get away from the schoolyard football, and I don't care. The video game thing is such a stupid story that people keep bringing up. Who cares?
Right. But I just feel like he's really small. Yeah, I know that's not, really small. I mean, you know, just really small guy.
I had the answer for the Raiders and Raiders fans, and everyone laughed at me and said I was wrong.
What is it?
No, the answer was last year, with all this quarterback uncertainty and Kyler Murray at rock bottom in terms of value, he's got a fixed price. He's making like 37 mil. And when I say that, 37! They cost 55 mil now, quarterbacks.
Right.
They're going to be 60-plus next year.
Yeah, I was going to say Dak might get 60.
Would you feel better about Kyler Murray on the Raiders right now than what they've got? Where they're going to hit the restart button again in the offseason?
I don't know. Only because you wouldn't be able to get another guy. Like, once you get Kyler Murray, you're already paying him a lot of money. At least Minshew's cheap, and you can go and get somebody else later.
You're doing one or the other, right?
Yeah.
You're either sucking beyond belief, and maybe that is the plan.
Right.
But I don't think that's the plan.
No.
Or then you give yourself a real chance to make the playoffs. And for everyone out there who's like, Kyler Murray, this and that, they made the playoffs. He's a winning quarterback. He's got a winning record.
Yeah.
I'd have to look up his touchdown-interception ratio. Now it literally is like 93-44.
I just feel like if you're going to go all, I don't hate him, but if I'm going to go all in, I'd get somebody else.
Probably. Well, ideally you'd like someone who is a grown up. He is a bit immature, but
yeah.
you're in this weird zone where you don't
only so many options.
And, you know, nothing against Minshew and Akon, but they're
no, they're
backup quarterbacks. They're quarterbacks, whatever, 27-45 in the NFL.
Yeah, I never even understood the Aiden O'Connell thing at all, but whatever.
Me too.
I just don't get it.
You mean like getting him in the first place or making making this like it was a real battle?
Yeah, making it seem like this guy has a chance to start for your team. Like I was like, are you kidding? Like, I mean, I know Minshew's not amazing or anything, but dude, come on.
Coming up, Greg just won a bet. God, you're a pig. Betting the Little League World Series. And he bet the Little League World Series. Unbelievable. He's got another bet on the way. So he's now our betting insider.
That's right.
In the second half of Cofield and Company. Tomorrow, right after Cofield and Company, the debut of the 2024 Barry Odom Radio Show. It's at 215 and Flamingo. That's the Parkway Tavern. Parkway Tavern at 215 and Flamingo.
Good food.
$2 Miller Lights. Really good food at Parkway Tavern. Pimp them all you want, brother. What do you got to say about Parkway Tavern, Jared?
Anything good?
Awesome apps. They have $5, $6, and $7 football. Yeah. Whenever you're there to watch football, $5 drafts, $6 on the well drinks, $7 on the appetizers. That's during the football games.
Fried pickles. Oh, my God.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Parkway Tavern, multiple locations around town. Barry Odom Radio Show right here on ESPN Las Vegas will be at the 2 Fit Flamingo location. Giveaways every week. It's every Wednesday. And the cool thing, tomorrow, you come out, you sign up, you can win a suite. You can win one of the Allegiant suites for the UNLV opener on September 7th. Can hold 16 people. Food and beverage is covered. It's worth like $2,000. But you got to be there tomorrow. First Barry Odom Radio Show. And you know what? Come out and support UNLV football. Hopes are high. Probably the highest hopes have ever been before a UNLV football season. So Barry Odom Radio Show every Wednesday, but especially tomorrow night. Come on out. 215 and Flamingo, Parkway Tavern.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Aces, usually on ESPN Las Vegas, but we were on today, so they got moved over to one of our sister stations. Early start in Dallas. Halftime against the Wings, 42-37. They need to get on a roll, a little momentum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got a bet running with Willie Ramirez. It's pretty much in, but I'm not actively rooting. I took the under on the Aces wins.
Yeah, you seemed real confident about it last time.
I was very confident, yes. Yes.
Still?
They have to finish 28-12 or better to win.
Yeah.
For Willie, I have under 28 wins. They're 18-11.
Hmm.
Yeah. They might do it. They could go 11-0 down the stretch.
I thought they were going to come out like gangbusters, but they didn't.
Well, they get a mistake on everyone's part to think it's the last 2 years, and it's like, hey, they're just going to flip the switch and
right.
start winning. Like,
that's what I thought.
They're not. They're probably not as good as they've been, but more importantly, a lot of teams around the league came up to them.
Yeah. Well, exactly. When you get a lot of attention, too, kind of like the global game versus the U.S. and whatever, when it brings that much attention and it gets more competitive.
Yes. Coming up, Atlanta at home on Friday. Atlanta's a little plucky now. DT and the Mercury will host them on Sunday, and that's it. I'm not reading through the whole September schedule. That's just a quick look ahead for the Aces, and they'll be back consistently most of the time, unless it's a super early start on ESPN Las Vegas. Back in the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So you and I both like Cincinnati chili.
Yep.
There was something else we both liked. Oh, no, I like Kyler Murray. You don't?
Well, I didn't say I didn't like him.
Okay.
He's whatever.
Do any of us like Jennifer Lopez?
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
It's hard to know somebody just from seeing them on TV. But like
the thing 3 months ago with she's from New York and she's trying to.
Right.
Then she does the if you know with the orange soda and she doesn't know how to order a freaking sandwich. She gets destroyed. You saw
that.
Yeah. And then the story that I can't get past is and it's changed locations because everyone's told the story, but there's the Vegas story that her and Affleck were at a blackjack table. He won a crap ton of money, and as celebrities will do oftentimes, and rich people, you give the dealer or two a freaking massive tip.
Sure.
And the rumor was she was like, nope, and pulled it back.
No way.
You never heard this before.
No, that part I didn't know.
Oh, it's changed. It's been at like 5 different properties. I think the original property, the original story I heard was at Hard Rock back in the day.
Well, now I don't like her.
Now, don't, look it up for yourself. Ask around. That hurt
me. Steve Colefield has convinced me to hate J-Lo.
I'm not the source on that, but believe me, I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
If she gets married again, is that her fifth marriage or fourth,
I don't. Well, here's the thing is, she was engaged to Affleck the first time, but they never actually got married.
Okay.
So that doesn't count as one. But then they got married this time, so that counts as one. So, I don't know. Then there was the dude that, what's that singer who was like super skinny, looked like he was about to die?
Mark Anthony?
Yeah, that guy. Hmm. And then Alex Rodriguez, but I don't think they ever actually got married either. There was a fiance.
So is there a bet available on her next fling?
Yeah. Eminem is in the lead.
She's a four-time divorcee.
Yeah.
Okay. So her next fling. Is that how they're terming it?
I guess.
We're very serious on the show. What the definition of
I think it's anyway. Whoever she hooks up with next.
So you can bet it. So whoever she's with next, maybe on the reg. Who's on the list?
We got Eminem. We got Alex Rodriguez, who I think is probably the most likely because they're similar ages. And then the surprising one to me on there was The Weeknd, who I think is like 30 years younger than J-Lo. I don't really understand that one.
Bad Bunny, Gyllenhaal, Gosling.
Yeah. See, I don't see Gyllenhaal either. He's too young.
DiCaprio, she's way too young.
No, yeah, yeah, no. She passed that in like 84.
She's an attractive older lady. Yeah, yeah. Portia de Rossi, is she going? Is she on both? What's going on?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think Jodie Foster is going to come in.
No.
At 60. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I guess. It could just be like a fry cook somewhere in Vegas, you know?